Welcome to BGM, Bad Gay Movies, Bitchy Gay Men. This is episode 21. I'm your co-host, Bill Antonio, and with me is...
Daniel Krolik.
And...
Michael Soulard.
Thank you for joining us. Today's film will be the classic Bear City by Douglas Langway. I think I got the name right.
Are we all bears? Are all three of us bears?
I'm a bear right now.
You're a bear. You're pretty bearish.
I'm too lazy to wax or work out.
You're
so
a bear.
I'm a bear.
Yeah.
I guess I'm a bear. I've been called cub a lot recently.
Did you say an otter?
An otter, yeah, but I don't think I'm skinny enough to be an otter.
You're skinny enough to be an otter.
Oh, stop.
I think one thing, though, is that I walked away from this film not quite feeling that it had a handle on what a bear is, either.
I don't think bears have a handle on what bears are,
though. No. And nor should they, because really, enjoy your lives, everyone. But,
absolutely. Which is really funny, because now hipster straight men are starting to look like bears, with like the beards and not men grooming.
But skinny jeans.
Yeah, but they're even like letting themselves go a little bit as well.
And I'm sorry, a lot of them are tribal tattoos. A lot of them are manscaping their faces, like they're growing beards and stuff.
Full
but
on
you
beards.
Get them naked, and there's like a full, there's a full Brazilian wax going on.
No, I don't know, dude. I work with hipsters every
day. Let's ask all the straight men who listen to our podcast.
There is at least one that I can think of. But before,
hi, Julian.
Before moving on, maybe I can remember this time, because I'm a little more sober than last time.
Yes.
Because we're not celebrating anymore.
No.
We're just sad.
No. we're not celebrating the coldest, darkest May ever.
Yes. Right. It's an odd number episode. Yeah. There's no reason to celebrate.
Absolutely.
Although this episode is legal to drink in the States.
It is 21.
Yay!
Fisting for all.
Michael, could you give us a synopsis of this wonderful film?
Yes.
And then break the microphone.
Yeah. Poor Ken Reiger. All right. So we are watching, we watched Bear City. Bear City, a story of five hairy gay guys who think they're designing women, Sex and the City, Golden Girls, and 90210 all rolled into one. Basically, Tyler, played by the cute Joe Conti. What's his last
name?
Conti.
He was cute. Yeah. Tyler's a sweet, young, gay boy riddled by the fact that he's attracted to bears. So what?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the flip side of this...
This movie makes a much bigger issue than it needs to.
Oh, a huge issue. Yeah.
But this was also, again, this movie was 2008, 2009, so it was before everybody was a bear or wanted to be one.
I don't care. He's ashamed of it like he's secretly a terrorist or something.
Well, yeah.
I wish he was secretly a terrorist. That
would be actually,
a cool movie.
The other thing on the flip side, I mean, then there's Roger, like the big porn star that everybody loves, is riddled by the fact that he likes Tyler, who in his eyes is a twink, which, again, like, so fucking...
And Roger is not that bearish.
He's not.
Least bearish out of all the
that
least.
Will be the thesis of my argument.
Who, by the way, I didn't record his true name, but he actually has a show on E, apparently.
He's the worst actor in the entire movie.
But when you,
and
but
one
when,
of the worst
but when you close your eyes, he sounds exactly like Scott Bakula, who plays the older daddy on Looking.
He does?
He actually sounds the entire time like he was out doing drugs the night before and they haven't worn off yet.
I don't remember that, and I find it creepy that you know what Scott Bakula smells like.
I wish I knew what Scott Bakula smells like.
So we've got Tyler, who is all confronted by the fact that he likes bears. Then we have Roger, who's all like... out of whack because he likes a twink. Nobody gives a shit. Meanwhile, there's a fat man who can't get a job because he can't button up his shirt. And then there's a fucking couple.
I don't blame anyone for not wanting to hire you. You can't even put on a shirt
right. Just get the right size.
And there's that one. I'm not going to get to it, but there's that scene where like basically his whole belly is sticking out at a job interview. I was like, how do you not feel that draft? In any case.
That's an excellent
point.
So
that's happening. And then there's a couple who doesn't have sex anymore. So fucking big surprise. Welcome to life.
They were my favorite.
Well, we'll get to that in a second. But, you know, and then something else happens. I'm not even sure what. So here we go. Bear City. And now there's a sequel.
From 2010, actually, is when it was released and played at a bunch of... The earliest film festival I could find it at on IMDb was at the New Fest New York LGBT Film Festival. And again, directed by Douglas Langway, who made a movie called Raising Heroes in 1996 that I've never seen, and then not another feature until this movie in 2010, and he has since made a sequel, Bear City 2, The Proposal, in 2012.
What do you think he did for 14 years?
Wait. I don't know. I mean, maybe he just worked in the industry but didn't get around to
it. Do you know anything about that first movie? Is it a gay film?
Yeah, it is. Okay. And I think it's a, I think they said it's a thriller or something. I don't know. I'll look for it.
Is it like Raising Heroes, like a child, or R-A-Z-I-N-G? Heroes.
So normally I like to bring on a bunch of very positive reviews to be ironic about the fact that we're about to bash the movie. I can't say that I found a lot. There were a lot of people who just like found it pleasant if flawed, nothing too interesting. But this was my favorite of the reviews that I read. I actually found a couple that I really liked, but Scott on cinemademerde.com.
No last name.
Right. Writes, I tend to avoid watching gay films, mostly because they are usually so awful, acknowledging that they have vastly improved in recent years, and because there is pressure to like them simply because they exist, irrespective of quality. Is that like irregardless, or is that actually a word?
Irrespective?
Yeah.
I think it's closer to being a word than irregardless, but I don't know if it is.
Why do you have bedroom voice right now?
Then, if you don't like them, you're automatically a homophobe.
Jesus.
In this case, additional pressure was added because this film was shot locally using a number of people from the bear community here in New York, many of which I know or at least recognize on site, and many of whom are already think I'm a stuck-up asshole, leading me to think, in the first few minutes here, that it might be better not to review this film at all and just pretend like I've never seen it. But quite to my surprise, I have to say this movie won me over and I ended up on its side. And then he writes a 3-page review.
Amazing.
Jesus Christ.
He gets very personal in that. Yeah. That review was about him. But okay. Anyway. Kevin Taft in Edge, New York writes, writer-director Douglas Langway's Sex in the City-style gay romp Bear City has three things going for it. One, the exceptionally pretty score by the incredibly talented composer Carrie Muzzey. Two, the use of one of pop singer Tiffany's best songs right before the end credits. And three,
I missed that.
Its heart is in the right place, which are actually the three most important factors for me.
And I will say, compared to the E-Cupids of the world, and compared to the 200 Americans of the world, this movie is pretty low in our list of BGM offenders.
Absolutely, because it wasn't hateful.
And
it did make me angry.
And the big club scenes and crowd scenes are decently populated.
Yeah, because they filmed the real places. The Ramrod's a real place.
Completely disagree.
Really?
I was very angry with this film. I turned it off probably about 20 times.
I don't want you to misconstrue that I liked it. Because
No, I've come prepared saying that this is probably my worst BGM.
Really?
Worse than Eating Out.
I'm going to guess that
the reason is because whatever might work about it, the romance at the center is bullshit. And it's a movie that pretends to be about finding... placing attention outside the usual norms of... Because gay movies are always about really gorgeous young men with perfect bodies.
This is true.
This movie's all about how the men who don't have perfect bodies are also really sexy and deserve to fall in love.
And sexy to each other.
Right. Except that at the center of it is a romance where... It's like this guy loves big bears and he gets involved with a guy who is not, like you said, not at all a bear and is really fit. He's one of the glam bears or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's very disingenuous. It's a movie that pretends to be it pretends to think outside the box in a way that it actually doesn't.
It's very disingenuous, and both the actor who plays Tyler and the character itself have actually better chemistry with
everyone else other than Roger.
More specifically with like the guy who's the cameraman at the beginning of the movie who ends up he's living with. They have amazing chemistry.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway.
And that's not
my guess as to why you hated it, but you can actually express your own opinion.
Yeah, thank you. I was just going to wait for you to finish. No, but you're not far off. In terms of the actual plot and in terms of the character interaction, yes, I was offended by the fact that once again, you know, the principal falls for the guy that he shouldn't fall for, who actually treats him like shit. So
yeah.
I'm tired of that common theme in BGM. But I also found, like, before... I would watch BGMs and I would just become engulfed in a cloud of just really bad gay. Now I'm proud to say that after our 21st episode, I can now really dissect things, and I now get very angry at...
Well, the show's done. My project to do this for you is over.
We're done.
Go on,
you've done your job. But I just find it so, it's so obvious that, you know, bad writing, bad directing, bad acting, bad aesthetic on its own can really destroy a movie. And I just found everything except for the acting so insulting.
And I find you getting more and more articulate in your rage, which is great.
Oh,
to,
thank you. Yeah. Which is 21 great to episodes elaborate later. It's fucking
remember
like
our first
days.
Episode when you just beat me over the head with a club for a whole hour?
And it's amazing that Roger sort of turns into Danny Zuko from Grease in every scene that Tyler shows up.
Well, I don't understand. Like, he's attracted to him, and I get why he's attracted to him, but I don't get why he becomes the one he has to have, because he keeps meeting all these hot guys. It's just like, you've moved into the bear community because you want a bear, so find a bear. Why are you going after this guy who, it's not like they have cute obstacles in their way that keep them from falling in love. Roger's a fucking asshole. Like, he's mean to him.
Yeah,
and he has this weird thing where it's like he doesn't want his friends to know that he's going after a Twinkie boy, basically.
Why
it's like,
but why
again, he behaves like Danny Zuko after romancing Sandy all summer and being all cool with the other T-Birds.
But they're in high school.
Yeah.
So even though they're played by 40-year-olds, they're in high school.
which is even then, when it's in high school, it's borderline acceptable to treat somebody like that because you're like, oh, you're in grade 10. Yeah. You really have to worry about passing history.
But that's why movies like Mean Girls and Clueless and all that works. It doesn't work for like fucking 40-year-old hairy fat man. Like, sorry.
Did anyone else think it was weird that he spends the whole movie looking for a big old bear, but it opens with him being atop with Santa Claus? I don't know. I don't like to subscribe to the politics of top and bottom, but I still think it was kind of funny. His dream sequence.
This
with
is
Santa
true.
Claus.
Yeah. Wasn't there a line something like "Santa's coming twice"?
The other thing is that he keeps saying how I love big hairy men, but he doesn't end up with a big hairy man. He ends up with a fit guy.
And
he's actually quite manscaped for a hairy guy.
Says at one point that he is in love with them. Like, I'm just like,
and they have one scene together where they have like one scene of extended dialogue together where all they do is get super turned on by the sporting events their dads took them to as kids.
That's the
one scene they have together.
But he's like in love with him, but then Roger is like, I don't want to have anything to do with you. But then he gets jealous because he's like, who's Simon? And then he's he's jealous also of the Spanish go-go dancer that he's had one night with and has decided to live with, who then turns out to be polyamorous, and he's mad at him.
And again,
like,
Roger,
real life, if I go on 10 dates with a guy and I'm like, I kind of like you, it's like, whoa, man, you're moving too fast. Meanwhile, in this movie, apparently it's okay to like demand commitment after meeting someone for 5 minutes.
Roger and the Spaniard are so much hotter together and so much more dynamic together than Roger and Tyler are.
Too.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I didn't understand as well. It's like, they had that whole like cruising scene, which I'm like, okay, now we get it. Like, Roger's a complete asshole. Like, we got that he was a big slut before. But then they have that scene after they have sex, which is like a little bit endearing.
It's very tender.
Know each other.
Yeah.
There's that
there's mutual
score,
massage.
Music,
yeah.
You know, but
there's a lot of twinkle
was,
twinkle
was that
music
Tiffany?
In this
was
movie.
That the Tiffany?
No.
I don't remember a Tiffany song in this
neither
movie.
Neither do I.
But,
thank you.
Because there's one Tiffany point. Song.
Yeah, it wasn't that though. But regardless, and then you know,
irregardless, Rana.
But then to see the Spaniard get a blowjob kind of thing, well, it's kind of like, you're both sluts. Like, I'm
although
sorry.
He does have the greatest exit line in film history, which is, who wants to eat my ass?
Oh amazing.
which I hope that for the 2015 Oscars, when they do like a random montage of famous moments, when it's like, here's
that
looking.
That scene is so awkward because it's like, either be funnier or more serious. Like, it's somewhere in the middle. It's like, that's just
that's
awkward.
But I
movie.
Hope, but maybe we could have a BGM covert operation where we sneak it into the editing room and it's like, here's looking at you, kid. Fasten your seatbelts. There's no place like home. Who wants to eat my ass?
At the beginning, we quickly established that Tyler is also trying to make it as an actor, which is not really touched upon much in the movie, but he goes to an audition, and this is where the movie's already starting to fail me, because he walks in and she's like, ooh, honey, you're late, and they're just sitting there waiting for him. I have never once been to an audition that was ever running on time, ever.
Ever.
Ever, because they always schedule
and also, and
in
also,
5-minute allotments, and they take 15 minutes with everybody.
What I also love is that he walks into the audition, talks to the receptionist, whom you don't see at first, and she's like, oh, honey, you are late. And then she's like, here's Tyler, you're 10:30. She's like, he's late. She's like, girl, but he's fine. I'm like, okay, of
but
course.
That's the other thing.
You got to put the sassy black woman in the bad gay movie again.
But if you're not there on time, then they just bring in someone else. Like, they don't just sit and wait for
this
you.
This is true. I was also trying to figure out what universe Tyler and his twinkie Hispanic flamboyant roommate would be up for the same part.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
Oh, that's right. They did say that.
And then it's funny when he comes home and it looks like the roommate is giving a blowjob to his friend in the tight jeans. and he calls him Walt Whitless.
There's a lot of twink shaming in this movie as well.
And also, absolutely. But then also, he goes online onto Bear Nation, which is not a real site, I checked. And why is he on the DL online? Like, everyone's online now. Everyone has a photo online now. Like, everyone is online now. And he's so on the down low. Also, if you have a profile on one of those sites and you don't have a photo, you don't get approached.
Nobody's going to message you.
No one's going to
message you. Big Daddy for you isn't going to message you.
Yeah, and then, like, I know that's because it's a movie, because they have this entirely long conversation where everything pops up really fast. In real life, that conversation would have taken like 45 minutes.
Because he just logged on. It's like, new message. I was like,
why don't you have a picture? You're so hot.
Listen, before we move on, at the very beginning, there's a whole scene with all these extras, which I love because it's kind of like, here's a bear doing this, here's a bear doing that. And there's these
and they all work in construction.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's that one. Yeah. That's the scene I want to bring up. These two bears talking at a construction site. And they're like the gayest things ever. I'm just like, it's just not real.
Maybe in New York it's real.
I do want to bring up. Are you done with the montage?
I'm done now.
Okay. Stop being so respectful. Please, we have fans.
I do want to bring up another scene in the montage, which commits a cardinal scene that I first saw in the great TV show Smash. Which is, there's two bears just sort of sitting and chatting in, like, the cafe tables in Times Square, which nobody does because it's overrun with, like, tourists taking out their iPads, taking pictures. And now it seems to be this thing where movies take place in New York and you actually see, like, locals just hanging out in this cute little place called Times Square.
Did you also feel like this is the most New York movie you've ever seen? Like, I've never seen a movie that took place in New York that seemed so not like it was New York. I don't know why. Filmed in LA or something? Because I don't know, it just never seemed like New York.
Except for the ramrod.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Relentless plugging of all the Bear City events and the scene where the lap band guy finally gets a job at Broadway.com. Yeah. which I hope we'll get to
Tyler
later.
Tyler masturbates with his pants on, which you don't do when you're alone in your room, but whatever, okay, don't judge. And then there's music, like he.
Which you probably do if you have a really good agent.
I guess so.
I suppose.
But we saw his ass. Like, he's naked at the beginning of the movie.
That's true.
Why wouldn't he, you know? I'm not saying we have to see his.
And you know what? A nice real ass. Thank you very much.
Totally a nice real ass. Yeah. Not unattractive. But nobody in this movie has a perfect body. Except for the glam bears. But, like, Tyler doesn't have a perfect body.
The muscle
bears. A lot of them don't. And, like, I found everyone attractive, and I like that about it. But then again, all that, and then it's very disingenuous about the main relationship at its core, that he ends up going for a guy with, like, a physique and not just a body.
It's also the term of endearment that the Spanish lover calls the super fat one is gordito.
Gordito, which is little fat guy.
Which basically means fatty, it's like fatty, right?
Yeah, it's fatty.
Is that endearing? Is that an endearing thing?
Whatever, and he calls him Osito, which is little bear.
Who, Carlos, his actual boyfriend?
Yeah, he's like, what's up? What's wrong, Gordito?
And he calls him little bear Osito.
I think I think it's meant to be endearing because he's allowed to, because that's what he likes.
I'm sorry, if that guy doesn't like that people notice that he's fat, then, really, what do you think, you know? If anything, like, he should be like, yes, I'm huge and it's a great thing, not like, please don't remind me that I'm a big guy, because really... Yeah.
What I love about the online conversation as well is two things, and this is proof that the writing in this movie is terrible, because probably the deepest line is the online guy saying to Tyler, "You're a mystery wrapped in an enigma." I was like, "Oh, groan!"
Twinkle Twinkle music, like sad music, like it's supposed to be so sweet that he loves, like not sweet, but like melancholy that he loves. Bears, and it's like, it's not that big a deal.
It's not a big deal.
It's a kinky obsession, and it's great.
Mm-hmm. But also, you know,
just a preference.
Yeah.
But also, they have this online conversation where Tyler's not giving him anything, not even a picture, which I get, whatever, that's fine. But then the guy's like, oh, meet me at the Ramrod. Like the darkest place on earth.
Before you've been talking to someone online for 2 weeks.
The darkest place on earth, and I'm the guy with the beard. Yeah. Find me.
Yeah. Oh, and then he shows up at the Ramrod, everyone's outside.
Yeah, everyone.
For some reason, because it's a nice New York night. No one's smoking, everyone's outside.
There's like one smoker.
Right, but then he walks up. He doesn't even look like he's scared to go in. But the guy's like, "Go on in, kid. We don't bite." And it's like he just looks like he doesn't know if he should wait in line.
That's true.
He's not afraid to go in. And then he does go in, and he meets the new friends, and they're all adorable and charming.
Yeah.
And that random voice from the side who's like, "I'll put some hair on your chest." In my mind, it's a pirate with missing a leg.
In mine, it was B. Arthur's final work.
No, it's called Patricia.
She did some ADR from the hospital bed.
And then we talk about Roger, and we cut to that orgy.
Disgusting sex scene.
I don't know that it was disgusting, but the fast motion was very disturbing.
Yeah.
It was sort of like a Benny Hill sketch gone wrong.
Yes, that's the thing.
But it was funny because you see Roger, and I'm like, I've kind of seen this guy before. I don't know. But then you see, like, so many faces buried in furry asses. I'm kind of like, he must be a porn star. Because which actor who doesn't do porn is totally comfortable in that scene? I'm sorry.
Yeah. An actor who's not getting enough Law & Order episodes.
Oh, well, come on.
All the sex scenes look like they smelled. And I'm sure that
this entire movie looked like it smelled. How hot is it in New York that every fucking scene has 10 sweaty guys?
Yeah, there's a lot of
pit scenes
in this movie, too.
I guess. But why do bears have to be so sweaty?
You know what? Write us and tell us, folks.
Yes, thank you.
I can't wait for that New York Times op-ed piece.
Or a New Yorker profile, talk of the town. Those two are like lesbians, except without their dumb circles, which I thought was funny.
Mm-hmm. That was kind of another great line, which I fucking hate because I gagged. Was like, ooh, you know that hot daddy with a kid?
Stroller meat.
Stroller meat is the grossest thing I've ever had in my life.
Oh my God.
That's the grossest thing since Bix.
I almost called.
Because it sounds like I imagine someone eating a child out of the stroller.
Oh my God! I almost called the police on myself for watching that. It's kind of like Jesus.
I think I emotionally checked out of this movie where Tyler talked about fantasizing about doing a sex scene with Kevin James.
Oh yeah,
that's when
I because
stopped.
If you like bears, Kevin James doesn't count as
Who's
hot.
Kevin James,
who's Kevin James?
The guy, the King of Queens.
Ron
and Beverly Hayden.
Mall Cop.
Yeah, Mall Cop. Yeah. Okay. Oh yes, thank you for that high art.
Mall Cop, Daniel.
I'm sorry.
We then go home to Carlos and his boyfriend.
Michael?
What's his name? Michael.
It's Michael, right?
Carlos and Michael. You know what? If someone has to tell you that they look at you and see how beautiful you are, it means you're probably ugly, just so you know.
Or Barbra Streisand.
Right. Or if you look in the... If you have to look, as Lisa Lampanelli says, if you have to look in the mirror and tell yourself that you're beautiful, you're probably pretty fucking ugly, just so you know. So don't let that make you feel too good about yourself.
This is the plot line that is played for, like, extreme dramatic effect, though.
Much more than it deserves, because it's actually a very sweet, sympathetic storyline. Yeah. I like that it challenges the politics of size and self-worth. I like that his boyfriend loves him, like that Carlos loves him without being like, I love you even though you're fat. Like,
I love him because
I love him for you, and I like that about it, except that it's the worst acted.
But it's played like the should or should I not get a lap band is played like it's Lorenzo's Oil or Terms of Endearment.
Yeah, and Michael won't stop fucking crying at everything all the time, and it gets really boring. You're not Nicole Kidman in The Portrait of a Lady. It's not as classy when you do it.
Yeah, I mean, sure, but I have to say, I didn't mind Carlito throughout the whole movie, and even when he had his little explosive monologue scene, you know.
He was also the sexiest.
Yeah, he is.
He shows up at the barbecue,
he is mad. Like, he shows up in a rage like he's gonna open fire on everything.
Well, I mean...
It's like a junkie rage in that scene.
Sure, there was no catalyst for him just swing open the door and just start ruining the barbecue. Yeah. But, I mean, the scene, the first scene at Michael's apartment, I was kind of like,
when he storms out shirtless, which I thought was really funny.
Everyone's fucking shirtless.
And then Tyler moves in with his new friends, and I think those guys are so funny. I think the guy who plays Brent is the best.
He has lovely underplaying.
No, absolutely.
Can I cut you off just to go back to that scene with Carlo and Michael?
Carlos, yeah.
You know, they're trying to get us to be, you know, empathetic, sympathetic towards their situation, but then they have this awkward makeout scene where it's like, okay, whatever, they're making out, but why do I have to see Carlos lick the inside of Michael's belly button? You ruined it. Anyway, back to Tyler.
Should that be like our new GIF on the Bad Gay Movies website?
Because they want to make a movie where big guys have sex and they're not constantly trying to film them from the most favorable angles.
Yeah, but
where
fine,
they
which
really
is
like just do close-ups and it's like, and I got show that. Belly fat.
No, but I got that, and they did have, like, you know, he's grabbing his belly fat, all that shit. But it's like, I don't need you to see sucking lint out of someone's belly fat.
That's not erotic on a washboard.
Right?
Get to the scene with Tyler moving in outside the building, and I realize at this point that there's a lot of discussion of, like, the politics of being a bear or not being a bear, or, like, living in Chelsea, but you have to be skinny to live in Chelsea. And I realize there's just a lot of politics about...
There's a lot of politics in the gay community.
Types of being gay that I just don't seem to know a lot about. Like,
I think there always is.
I know, but it seems so ghettoized, where it's just like, I can't tell my friends that I'm into bears, so I'm moving apartments into a different part of the city.
Into the bear district.
It's like, and then when Simon finds out, it's like, oh my God, it's like, he's not secretly a Mormon or something. Like, he just likes, I don't know. In real life, I feel like his friends would be like, you know, it's not what I'm into, but whatever, more power to you. Not like, explain it to me. Why? How come you like this? Like,
yeah,
what,
it if, be so
what happened
poor.
To you in your
this
childhood?
Is, again, this is another episode of twink shaming, which this movie seems to do a lot of.
But you're right, because like each different community, it's never really foreign as to what another community is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why is there nobody in this movie who's just like, you know what, I like guys who are hot, and sometimes I'm into, sometimes I like a guy who looks like this, and sometimes like, everyone seems to be on this narrow
because
path
this is
of what
pushing,
they're
into. This is pushing a certain sexual agenda, which the movie is really
partly
about.
That, but I think it's also just not very intelligently made.
No, of course not
at all. And you know, I mean, that's the whole common theme throughout the whole movie that I found when I was watching it is like somebody wrote this movie because they really want to shove bear and leather culture down our throats. So I almost felt like I was watching Understanding Bears for Dummies, almost. You know
it
what I mean?
Was a little bit educational.
It a little bit. I mean, when he pulls out the sounding gear, I was like, what? Like, that has nothing to...
There's even, like, that quick moment, I don't know if you noticed, when he's moving in, a really hot guy walks by them on the sidewalk, like, he almost bumps into them because of the couch, and then walks on, and they don't notice him, like, they don't check him out.
At all.
And
it's
I feel like
sorry,
they did that was sort of on purpose. That's almost, like, the most...
And it's also that, like, that the moving scene really bothered me, because these two characters seem like they're just about to get it on, and then it's never consummated, and it never becomes a conflict.
No, because he's like, all this fantasy talk has made me horny. Yeah, me too. And it's like, awkward.
If that,
I'm gonna go up and fuck my sexually frigid boyfriend in
the shower.
Shower
and then be like, hey, do you want to join us? Okay, fucking the roommate is never a good idea.
It's never a good idea. But I'm sorry, if you're mildly attracted to another gay guy and you're in your 20s and somebody says, I'm getting horny, and you're like, I'm horny too, you would be sucking his cock in 5 seconds.
True.
Like, hello, let's get to it. The other thing is, can they please, back to the cramming bears down our throat. Why does everything have
Which
to have the word
like.
Bear on it? Bear cafe, bear t-shirt, bear night, bear city. I was just like, holy fuck, we get it.
Yeah. And there also seems to be a constant plugging of New York City events that were happening that
totally.
Year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why,
and then also, like,
was Bear City actually?
I sort of imagine because there was one scene where they just, like, flashed a poster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they're wet. And
yeah.
If it's not real, then it's like...
It's sort of like the equivalent of, like, a... Yeah, it's sort of like the equivalent of, like, Manhunt or Fleshjack and other movies that we've seen.
He gets a job working at that cafe where I think you're right. At that point, I'm like, if a non-bear walks into that cafe, will they be sent away?
Oh, totally.
Like, I don't know. There was a drag queen and a leather guy without a beard.
That scene is ridiculous because there's also... It's like they don't like that the leather guy is a big old Nelly. Like, they kind of... I feel there's a subtle criticism of there that's really uncomfortable. That's just he dresses like a leather guy, but he's actually a big old queer. Like, what do you care?
I know, and that's just it.
Why
again,
does him dressing like 1980 cruising
again,
mean that he has to
be tough? Gay characters that are projecting so much hate, like subtle hate. Which is also... But I do have to agree, when you do see a big guy or guy who's, you know, emulating macho-ness, and he talks like this, it's a little bit jarring.
Well, it's surprising, but it's not... I wouldn't be like, oh my god, can you believe that guy thinks
but
he
I also,
can dress like that?
But I also think that unintentionally this movie points out a lot of contradictions and a lot of internalized homophobia that the bear community has, because it should be very accepting about whatever body type you are, whatever age you are, and I think now there is sort of a standard to be this muscle bear that you see in the movie that make everybody
I think any
apoplectic
amateur anthropologist will tell you that in every society there's always haves and have-nots. That's what swept away was all about, and I mean the original, not the one with Madonna, although that one kind of counts too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the way humans work, that as soon as we end up in some kind of cordoned off community or whatever, we divide into the people who are on top and the people who are on the bottom.
And which is, I think, and I don't think it was intentional, but I think that's one of the things that the movie does well.
Oh, I think this movie definitely accidentally pushes those things without meaning to. Roger then walks in and meets Tyler, basically gives him a blowjob the minute he sees him, like, with his eyes, and so that's supposed to be their little meet cute.
Before he takes out his, like, urethra tool.
Oh my god, what the fuck was that? He busts
that's
out
what I said about the sounding equipment. That's what sounding is, shoving it in. Gross.
But he busts that stuff out, and I'm like, is this movie going dead ringers on me now? Like, what is going on with that?
But it should have, if they were going
to
bring that
I would love to see David Cronenberg direct a bad gay movie.
Oh,
he probably well. I don't know. Does where the truth lies count?
Wasn't that the other one? Wasn't that a Goyen? Or was that Cronenberg?
Oh, that's a Goyen. You're right. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sure David Cronenberg's made a bad gay movie.
Crash. Crash was a bad movie.
It's not. No, I like that movie.
I like Crash.
Yeah.
Let's.
No, that gay scene was sexy. Was hot. That gay sex scene was hot in that movie.
There
was
a gay sex scene
in
Crash.
It was like a makeout scene.
I saw Crash and The First Wives Club on the same day.
Wow. So basically the same yeah. movie twice. Tyler can't serve coffee. Like, it's taking him. He just doesn't know how to work in a coffee shop. He can't remember the name Black Eye 3 seconds after it's been given to him.
I know, but you know, way to train him, Brent. It's just he's like, just do it. Yeah, he's like, I need a latte, cappuccino, and a cafe au lait. He's like, I don't know. He's like, I'm on break. I'm like, what kind of
which automatically makes him my favorite character in the movie.
I love Brent.
Yeah,
I
loved him too.
I love him.
But it's not good for business to not. No.
And it's also he's so FYI. Shocked when he sees the urethra instruments that he drops all of the coffees.
He doesn't even drop it, he just flips the tray towards himself.
Yeah, he totally does.
And then the first thing he does is he takes his shirt off to mop the stains.
Why doesn't he
out.
Just look over and grab a rag of some kind? Like, why does he go, oh, I have to take off my shirt?
Well, he probably took off his shirt because naturally the coffee should be hot. But if the coffee is hot, you're going to react first. Right, you're not just going to take off your shirt.
I guess so. I didn't even
Unless
think
if he's
that.
Just so desperate to hit those marks.
Oh, good. Go in the back and put on a shirt before you get raped, which is could be like a contentious thing
advice.
To say. Except
it's
that
good advice.
He actually almost does get raped. That big old bear just like grabs him, just like reaches out and grabs him like he's in blindness. You know, like he doesn't even know what he's grabbing. He's like,
it was like Jenna Maroney on 30 Rock when she was like, "Me want food."
pretty much all the actors in this movie are terrible, but a lot of them are
except
likeable.
For Brent.
Yeah, he.
Brent, I really enjoyed.
But he's also the most, he's the perspective that we can also identify with the most, because he's the one that's just like, what the fuck is that?
Or it could have been this actor on set being like, I am so not into this movie that I'm shooting right now.
Well, you know what? I mean, I think a lot of his charm was his timing, which I think is an acting
thing,
obviously, right?
Yeah.
He's just right there all the time. I love it.
And then we go back
home. Oh, and he had a lovely no-kissing montage where they were talking about the rules for their potentially open relationship.
It's
genuinely
and
funny.
And the veto power is really funny too. Yeah. We do go back home to getting to Brent and Fred. What's his name?
The camera guy. I purposely wrote
things down this time. Oh, he was the camera guy at the beginning.
Let's call him Fred.
And they're sitting around in their shorts, and it's really sexy because, again, imperfect bodies, and they're really sexy together.
It's sexy, and I buy them as a long-term couple.
Totally, except that you have a roommate now, so don't sit around naked, but whatever. And then they shower in front of each other, too.
With a bear wash. They have a big bottle of bear wash in the shower.
Don't you?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you what I have in my shower.
Yeah. There are, because that's the sort of like disconnect for me with this movie is that there's actually a lot of real relationship situations surrounding this bullshit thing of this kid looking to land this guy that I really don't like.
And I did want to see a movie about this this particular relationship being tested by someone else's sexual attraction, which never happened.
Brent and
Tyler.
Brent and Fred? What?
Yeah, I wanted to see.
Oh, Fred's attraction to Tyler.
I wanted to see that movie.
Yeah, which
that totally went nowhere.
Yeah. Well, but at that point, the movie's too long anyway. Like at 105 minutes, it's already too long.
Yeah, it's pretty long.
We have the scene where Michael goes to the consultation about getting lap band surgery.
And then he
flashed back to his interviews where, again, this is like, you always look like you're about to cry and you can't even pull off your shirt. Who walks into an interview without doing a quick personal check before they go in there? That has nothing to do with how big you are. Make sure that you look
presentable. And also, who walks into an interview doing like a sense memory exercise about the time that their mom died to get super sad?
Yeah. I think I blocked that whole scene out except for his shirt. Maybe I was just so like...
it's a lame scene because that's also where Roger hits on the other guy who's in the lobby, who's also giant boyfriend is being consulted about. I would have been interested in them exploring the whole lap band surgery thing more. Yeah. Like, I'm glad that he doesn't end up doing it, but I do know a lot of people who've done it, and it would be interesting to see what journey he goes on if he does decide to
And
do
it's
it
also because, the commercial that...
Because a lot of people do it because their doctors convince them that they have no other choice.
Yeah, and even though the doctor laid it on really thick, the doctors are really like that. You know, they really push it. And it's really unhealthy, and it's really not
Well, it's
safe.
Not necessarily unhealthy, but it is I don't know, it's fraught with danger. But I do know people, and people in my family who've done it too, and with a myriad of results.
Yeah, me too.
But I also know that when doctors have an opinion about body size, they tend not to be like, you know, whatever, do what you want. Like, when my doctor bugs me about losing weight, he's just like, just do whatever you have to do it. I don't care. Not whatever. But, you know, like, he's insistent on it. Not like, you know, you have to feel good about yourself and do whatever makes you feel healthy. And so I it would have been interesting if the movie took a different path on that, but whatever.
But again, that's a subplot that kind of took up time and space that we actually really didn't need kind of thing. And I was really afraid, too, because when they introduced the plot of him getting that stomach band, I was kind of like, oh, fuck, now watch this. He's going to have a surgery, then he's going to die, and everything's going to be super dramatic, which I'm so happy.
I don't know that there's side effects of people dying from lap band surgery.
Well, they actually used to.
There's a lot of people who just don't lose weight.
When you're that large, every surgery is a huge risk, right?
That's true. But they used to do, they actually used to staple the stomach before
they did, yeah. Carney Wilson,
and I know people who've died from that.
Oh, yeah.
Had very bad reactions to it.
I also sort of enjoyed this fictional commercial for the lap band surgery, which seemed to be star exclusive bears. Like, there were no others.
And it was like a late night commercial.
It's on Bear Channel. It's on Bear Channel. Bear TV.
Called Bear Channel.
Yeah. Then the next scene after that is when Tyler happens to go bowling at the same place that Roger goes, or was that...
Which is like the gay pedophilia field of dreams, because it's exclusively about wanting to, like, either bowl or fuck your father.
Yeah, and also...
Well, it was weird, but that was like a really weird bowling alley as well.
Yes!
There's no one there.
Yeah, but it looks like someone's creepy basement.
I think there are bowling alleys like that.
I think all bowling alleys look like someone's creepy basement.
And that's kind of their charm, but also, like, he just takes off his shirt in the middle of a bowling alley and changes his shirt. If I did that, I'd get arrested. I'm sorry.
I guess they're in the gay village, but I mean,
they're in the bear bowling alley.
But what I did like about that scene, which is like almost nothing, was that Roger, throughout this whole stupid movie, is like portrayed as super macho and he's the guy. But the minute you see him bowl, he loses all
the
cred.
Oh, and he becomes like a bitch. He doesn't do that.
He's all twisted up. You're just like, do you ever look at Mortis? Like, what's wrong with you?
He convinces Tyler that he can make this impossible shot doing snake eyes or whatever.
Yes.
And Tyler throws the ball and doesn't get it. And he's like, oh, shit.
I know.
And it's like he crashed his dad's car. Like, that's the reaction he has to a bad throw. It's
well,
like,
they're
just bowling. Yeah. What's up with that?
Well, they are talking about their dads and getting, like, tremendous chubbies while doing so.
Yeah.
Which made it really uncomfortable.
Also in that scene...
And there's Twinkle Twinkle music in that scene as well.
There is. But there's also these really terrible one-liners that are so suggestive of, you know, gay sex. And I'm sick.
And bowling
that's
is
the like... other thing about VGMs that I'm so sick of. I'm so sick of, like, bad one-liner. Yeah. Like, even in this movie, it's laid on thick. Like, even the most piggish bottom in a sling would be like, okay, enough with the one-liners. Like, I just don't get it.
But and then Roger's friend walks in, and he immediately becomes such a jerk. Like, that's the first indication. I guess that's one of the few indications until the end that he cares what other people think, and he doesn't want to date
Tyler because he doesn't care what he cares about what the muscle bears think.
Yeah.
They're like his T-Bird.
But I also don't get the impression that the muscle bears give a shit. Like, why would...
Well, they do at the very end.
No, they do in this scene, too, because
actually, they don't. The guy walks up to him and is like, who's that guy? And he's like, listen, this is my boyfriend, and I don't want to hear any shit about it. Okay.
No, but they do in this scene because the big muscle bear comes in and he's like, oh, who's this young guy?
He calls him a twink. Yeah. But then, I don't know, there's lines being drawn here and I don't get why. It's just like, he's just enjoying bowling and all of a sudden his friend shows up. He's like, oh my god, I can't let people know that I'm bowling with you.
Yeah,
I know.
Again,
it's like
the bear grease, which I think makes Simon the Twinkie
grease.
Roommate. I think it makes Simon the Twinkie roommate Frenchie, if everybody sort of corresponds. Can we get to the part where Simon plays Dance Dance Revolution naked?
That was later.
Okay.
That's totally sexy.
I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. That was sexy?
I would bend that one over.
Why it wasn't sexy? And I get it because he's dancing, but I'm just like, again, this is like the 50th sweaty person I've seen.
It's New York in the summer.
Oh, well,
but where? I would happily crack that kid in two.
Would you really?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're listening.
Yeah. Give me a call.
He looked like he belonged to Menudo or something. I'm just not into it. Oh, yeah, back to bowling. Like, as if this movie wasn't bad enough, can you be more obvious that you're about to set us up for the whole this is how you bowl / play golf scene where he's, like, holding his waist and everything?
Your approach more.
I wish somebody would do that scene to, like, quilting.
Thank you.
Or, like, working a sewing
machine.
But
bowling is one of those, like, unless you're someone who really takes part in bowling tournaments, bowling is something you just do because it's fun, and you're there to drink beer and eat junk food.
And it's sort of like trial and error.
I have never been like, oh my god, I didn't get that shot. Like, who cares? I went bowling on a first date once, and it was the most wonderful thing. I had the best time.
I went bowling with my mother, had the best time, and that says something.
I don't think I have a bowling story.
We both got laid.
I have father and son team.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. We go back home to the bear boyfriends on the couch. Twinkle, twinkle music again. I get it. Too much of it. I think this is the point where they're discussing how they plan to do their polyamory because they want to be non-exclusive or whatever. I don't know.
But it only seems like one of them wants to be non-exclusive.
Well, that does become clear eventually, and then that's also the part where he's about to finger Tyler up the ass while he's sleeping on the couch. Yeah.
Which is funny too, because I mean, the shot that you see Tyler's ass is not a flattering shot at all. It's like total plumber's crack, and it's just like.
But I do get why.
Although Tyler has tremendously bad drunk acting in this scene too, when he comes back from his like bear pub crawl.
Yes. Yeah. There's also a lot of like weird time things where it's like there's night events that are then followed by going home to what seems like people in the afternoon. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Like when he comes home,
like everybody's constantly doing a walk of shame.
Yeah, but when he comes home later on, when he comes home from, and I can't wait to talk about the outfit, but when he comes home from his night when Roger blows him off for the Spanish guy, but then he goes to Simon's, and Simon's just like hanging out. I think that's the Dance Revolution.
Yeah,
it is. But it's like a late night bar that he goes to, and then like Simon's just like, yeah, what's going on? And like he sits on his couch as if it's like Sunday afternoon or something. Do you know what I mean?
No, it would be totally midnight. Totally, yeah. The whole bowling scene, it's so dark. He gets home, he's trash. Yeah. And then the guy's like, oh, I'm going to order Chinese.
No, we're about to watch the best J-Lo movie ever. Yeah. Which I wish they picked Enough instead of Selena, but whatever.
I don't know if I have a favorite J-Lo movie.
Oh, Out of Sight is actually the best one, but if you want to pick the best campy J-Lo movie, Enough would be the one.
That's the one where she runs away from the abusive husband?
It's the Sleeping with the Enemy with a way better ending. Yeah. It's also the one where, like, because you know how usually white mothers in movies are, like, if they're abused by their husbands, but then the kid knows about it, they'll be like, Mommy and Daddy just don't get along, sweetie. But in that movie, she's like, your dad yells at me, kid. And I love having the Latina girl to really, like, whip that out. After that is when we have the barbecue, and then Carlos shows up, seeming like he really is going to shoot everyone in the head. And the dramatics get really awkward
in that scene.
They're
so angry.
They're also angry.
And everybody
so
storms off at everybody
acted.
Else.
Yeah, because then it seems like Tyler and Roger are going to get somewhere, but then Roger's muscle bear friends show up. And as soon as they walk in, Tyler just like body checks them and slams at them, like just storms out of the party.
Well, what was so funny is that as soon as the muscle bears came in, they literally did bring the party down because everybody was all smiles. And then these three fucking miserable guys come. Man, like, I would leave too.
Yeah,
that's a good point. And they're gonna eat all the burgers.
And Carlos reveals to everyone that Michael is possibly gonna get a lap band surgery
again.
And
he's
so mad.
Yeah, and they play it like a terminal illness movie.
And I want it to be a lovelier movie because it does seem to espouse a lot of things that I really appreciate that it's promoting, but it's just so badly done.
Oh God, we're 56 minutes into the movie, and I have a note. Oh, there's still 48 minutes left.
It's like the Magnolia of bad gay movies.
And at this point, I also realize that this is a repeat problem that we have in a lot of BGMs, which is that you have a couple who you're trying to, you want them to get together at the end, so you're trying to put obstacles in their way, but there's no obstacles that either make sense or are actually obstacles, other than the fact that these two guys are just, one's an idiot and the other one's an asshole, so why am I here?
And the obstacles are they're more interested in other characters that they have better chemistry with.
And then after that is when Tyler reconnects with Simon, who's like, oh, now I'm back in your life. And it's like, why did him moving to a different apartment
and again
and taking up a bear's means he has to cut off ties with his friend?
We also do have a very odd makeover montage.
Oh, come on. A fashion montage is what I wrote in big letters.
And you also made cool herky-jerky hand
motions.
But
before that,
that's how I felt.
But before we get there, we have Roger's, Roger's reflective moment during one of his many
which is the second time he did it, because he did it once at the beginning of the movie.
Well, they treat it as if it's like, this
introduced.
Is typical Saturday night. He's just going to someone's house with a bunch of people and they all just fuck all night, but he's like looking himself in the mirror and he's like, is this who I really want
to
be?
Maybe he listened to the Lisa Lampanelli thing
and then like reacts and he just like melts down. He's like, shut the fuck up! Like because everyone's just
shut the fuck up / suck my shut the fuck up / suck my cock now.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not a bad place to be.
They're not mutually exclusive, I guess.
Yeah, but it's so funny that like you suddenly have a reflective moment. And why? Because we never really understand what it is about Tyler that captures his fancy either to make
and
him suddenly doubt his entire life.
It's the imposement of how hot Roger is.
Right.
Again, that was crammed in our throats. Mm. And he's not that hot.
And then we do have Tyler and Simon back at the apartment, and Simon's like, did you notice something? I lost 5 pounds. And you're right, there is twink shaming in that, because they're showing that like wanting to lose weight.
He's like, you should gain 30.
Right.
Then I'll like you. Right. And also, Simon is really abused by Tyler all throughout this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then also, Simon is just like treating him like a pariah for being into bears. Mm-hmm.
And again, he has a Sandy Dombrowski makeover. Yeah. Like, he comes back.
Well, yeah, because Tyler says, I need to get Roger's attention. It's like, you've had his attention. You guys just don't get along. Like, you guys don't...
the main point is, why do you even want his attention?
You've been alone with him like bowling. Shit. You could have blown him in the bathroom at the bowling alley. Like, you had his attention.
Like, right there. Jesus.
Yeah, and also the shopping montage is weird because they're not at an actual store, or if they are, it's closed. It looks like it's
the middle of the night. It's an unpopulated store. Yeah. They broke into the store.
But it's also dark. The lights aren't even on.
But it's so funny. It's like... Obviously, they're not at a gay store. They're at Value Village because there is every outfit imaginable in the world.
And he's like,
and they're not categorized.
But he's also taking him for this fabulous outfit in a place where it's like t-shirts and three-quarter shorts. Like, know, like, and you need clothes that don't fit. But then
I know there's one point he's got like a pile of t-shirts. Yeah. I'm like, dude, they're
but
t-shirts.
Also, are you allowed to try leather stuff on at a store? Because
not
I
not without your underwear.
But I don't want to buy assless chaps.
No, but
that
you're right.
On.
They were like coming out with like assless jock straps. Yeah. And like at one point they're like grabbing themselves. I'm just like,
There's also a very common thing in movies that involve shopping montages where for some reason in the montage people try stuff on that you know that they would never actually bother to buy.
I know.
Like,
I really,
if you've ever gone shopping, trying stuff on is the most tiring thing and you just want to get to lunch. You're not like, I'm not going to buy that, but let's try that on and twirl and laugh together. Like, it doesn't happen.
Didn't Philadelphia have a really good shopping montage?
Aww. He was always needing a new wardrobe as he was wasting away.
I want to get a t-shirt, a BGM t-shirt that says, let's get together and twirl and laugh.
And then they make a big deal about the outfit that he ends up choosing that we don't
see until
he gets to the bar. And he shows up, and he looks like Hilary Swank in Boys Don't Cry.
Surely, and it's in slow-mo. Like, yeah, he's like, look at my
baggy, new... A baggy, sleeveless, brown track vest that honestly looks like he picked it up off the floor. It does not look
like he
bought it.
Of the Value Village.
Tell me about it, stud.
Oh my God. Yeah, he walks into the bar. It's the slow-mo with his hat. And I'm just like, I'm sorry, when you have a fashion montage after slow-mo, you're either wearing Hermes and Versace's or an evening gown.
Or you're in drag.
You don't look like fucking Melissa Etheridge on a Monday.
On a Monday, yet.
Oh my God, and then he sees Roger and it's just like, just fuck already. Oh, I'm tired of this. There's still like 20 minutes left of this movie. Just fuck. And then they're still talking about bowling. He's like, you know, the other day you totally nailed that spare.
What are you, my uncle? Like,
and then the Spanish guy gets in and interrupts them in the rudest fucking way, where he just like shoves his way between them. Yeah. And it's not, if someone did that while I was talking,
well, he's so pissed off about not getting into the club.
Yeah, get out of here. I'm sorry. That's goddamn rude. It's so immature. But then like,
but Roger goes for it. He gets sucked into it.
Totally
like,
goes for it.
Fucking jerk.
And you know what? If I was Tyler, I'd be like, you know what? This guy's just not into me. Enjoy your life. I would not be interested at that point because he can't even be bothered to be polite to you.
Let me go exploring with the 3,000 other bears that I am suddenly attracted to.
Yeah, basically. And he goes to the... He says to the Spanish guy, you're a nasty oso. And he goes, oh, you know Spanish! He knows one word, and he lives in New York, FYI.
Yeah,
it's not that shocking that he knows one word in Spanish.
Although I'm also...
And the one word he knows in Spanish is bear. So that's
but
not
his
that shocking.
But his retort was, I've been to Spain a few times. And in Spaniard or something like that. It was just like, oh god.
I am, however, very intrigued by the needlessly elaborate backstory that the Spaniard gets.
Yes, he totally does about how he's
so
a go-go dancer putting himself through school
when they're in bed together.
I know. Yeah. Jesus.
And at that point, I'm like, you know, if Tyler sees them making out, I hope he just gives up for good. And can we just get back to Carlos and the fat surgery guy because they were a lot more sympathetic at this point. And then after that is when we have Simon doing the dance game naked. Why does he leave a key under the door when he's actually home? That's not what you do when you're still at home.
Especially in New York City. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, there's that too.
Well, he is asking for it.
People lock their doors, get raped by random people walking into their buildings, let alone when you leave your key under the mat. Also, if people are going to think that maybe you have your key somewhere, they're going to look under the mat.
Yeah,
so,
that's very true.
It's not like there's some kind of majorly, like, step upon step of clues to figure out before mm-hmm. you find the key.
And then, again, the scene climaxes with Tyler trying to make out with Simon, and it's just this awful cock tease because he knows that Simon is madly in love with him.
And he kisses him, and then
he's terrible.
Nope.
Gave it a shot. Sorry.
Which is rude and also makes no sense.
It doesn't.
And Simon is
no matter what you're into, if you have the opportunity to fuck someone, you just do it anyway.
Yeah.
And he says about Roger, he's like, he's just emotionally unavailable. It's like, no, he's an asshole, and you're dumb for not noticing this.
Yeah. And I think, is that the scene where there's the most offensive line on Earth, where he's like, you are officially whatever the PC term is for retarded.
Oh! Earlier in the scene, one of the characters uses retarded in a very pejorative sense, and never gets caught about it. It was just very passing. It was very passing. The camera guy, whose name we can't remember.
Oh, Fred. I think Fred.
Oh, Jesus. I didn't even notice and then that.
Yeah. Which made it odd that, like, an hour later.
It's almost like halfway through writing the script, somebody called him on it. And so he put that line in there just to shun them.
Yeah, except he's not really excusing it by.
Like, no, not at all.
Roger and Spanish guy post sex in bed. And it's like, yeah, they do seem to get along and it's nice. And it's like, well, they should just end up
this
together.
This is a very tender. Yeah,
absolutely.
But he's also like, I'm thinking about moving here. Okay, if you move to New York City to be a massage therapist, you're going to end up being a go-go dancer at the same time to make ends meet, FYI. Yeah. And then we're back at another bear party with a threesome where he's like, do the wave to the big guy. Just do the wave so he can get up and rub his belly like it's a genie lamp.
That was actually pretty good.
Oh, God. And then they bring home Uncle Mel, which is the funniest part of the entire movie. When Fred and Brent bring home Uncle Mel or whatever.
This couple wastes so much hot water because they seem to only want to
always in the shower.
But they seem to only want to have sex in the shower.
It's funny when he goes to open the shower curtain and it falls.
Brent has the best timing. I'm sorry. He's amazing.
Horseplay in the shower, though, makes me nervous because it's very dangerous.
Oh, it's true. But this is also when, after the scene, I was really hoping that this movie would come a bare version of Weekend at Bernie's. Carrying around Mel.
Because the guy falls and said, but before that, for some reason, he whips out golden showers. I don't know why. It's obvious
in such
that he's
a
just.
Weird way.
And it's obvious that he's just holding a bottle down by his crotch and squirting it. He has very yellow urine. That guy
very
is
yellow.
Not
and the
drinking
thickest
water.
Stream of urine.
Yeah, I know,
my
very dehydrated.
He's
that's the only thing
horse.
I can think of.
Yeah, what's a fucking. But I love because Uncle, what's his face?
Uncle Vanya.
No.
Uncle Mel.
Uncle Mel, they refer to him as the beer can extra, extra, extra large kind of thing. But I love it. Back at the club before the shower scene, they have this game, right? Where it's like you can cruise with someone by sending them a message. So beer can gets a message from Fred and
Bert and Ernie.
Bert
and Ernie. Yeah. It's like, we're the two guys by the fence. The entire club. It's fence. I was like, you guys have location issues in this fucking.
But this is also like, I'm the one with a beard.
No, yeah, exactly, right?
But move on, our show's almost over.
We have to. But one of my favorite lines as well is Uncle Mel saying to them, You guys will have the hottest holes I've ever turned out.
Like he's a seamstress.
I know, but of course
I'm gonna make your assholes into pockets.
This also goes into my Oscar montage.
Oh, absolutely. But of course Brent has the best one best question where he's like, inside?
Brent, actor playing Brent, if you're listening, we love you.
Well, because I think that a lot of his reactions are not scripted, too, and that's also why they're so funny. Someone also says, like, you're welcome, Bobby and Whitney, and then everyone thinks it's hilarious. Like, sometimes these guys laugh a little too hard at their own jokes. Yeah. And then we have that scene where, like, Tyler and Roger run into each other, where the Spanish guy comes over, and Tyler is jealous. Roger is jealous. It's very unsympathetic.
It's the part where the gays become so whiny.
But there's also that scene where Roger walks by that really scary Mulholland Drive cowboy guy who's like, well, if you see him, send him my way. And it's so
That's
creepy.
Probably the voice from the, I'll put hair on your chest.
That guy
That's very
freaked
true.
Me out. Like, that was a real...
The guy with the beard, right?
No, it was like he was a cowboy. He had a cowboy hat on and he had like a built chest, but he was like older. And
he was clearly
like,
well into
He was
the guy with the beard. I felt really sorry
but
for,
but he looked like the kind of guy
joke.
who's like, it's not sex unless bleeding is involved. Like, he just looked so dangerous. And then after like one date with the Spanish guy, after having decided to live with him, assumably for green card reasons, he's mad because the guy is getting a blowjob from some other random in the back.
I know,
room.
And that's where I'm like, why are you so mad? You're both like raging whores.
And you haven't been cheated out of anything. Like, you're not allowed to be heartbroken.
Yeah.
Which also seemed to go against this lovely and tender scene that we just saw from the two of them in the bedroom.
And then he pushes Simon out of the way to go to the bathroom, and Simon's like, what an asshole. He's like, forgive that asshole. I'm in love with him.
Yeah.
Why?
I know.
And Simon goes, this is some Tyra Banks shit going on right
and
here.
And then poor Simon has to watch their kissing scene standing on a urinal.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yes.
That's right.
And then Tyler's like, when are you going to stop giving a shit about what other people think and then just do whatever you want? Which I feel, again, is an issue that hasn't really been that strongly observed throughout the whole movie to say that it's now going to come out.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, and then at that point, I was like, who is Roger? Because does he have a job? Like, do we find...
Does he work in finance? He works in finance.
Okay. Because yeah. I realized at that point that it's like, this is the only thing I know about him. I don't know anything about him as a person. Does he really have to let his expectations and ideas go to like someone who is as adorable and sweet as Tyler and also considerably younger than him, which is
but probably a bad actor.
Like, how judgmental are these bears, I suppose? And also, why are there lineups for a bathroom that has like 5 urinals in it and no one's in there?
Sounds true. Yeah. Right?
Because everybody's too busy fighting with their boyfriends on the dance floor.
Yeah, well, if you're at the Ramrod or whatever club they're at that's so scuzzy, those urinals would be packed with guys checking each other out. True. So.
But also peeing, too. Like, they aren't used for real reasons.
I did think in this scene, Bert and Ernie did a pretty good job of acting like they were on ecstasy.
Oh, yeah, and they're laughing when they see Uncle Mel across the way with his cap on his head.
Oh, yeah, and Brent's like, nice hat.
they were really funny. But then also, Tyler and Roger now have finally clinched the deal. They're going to be together. They walk out, and then, like, he's so mean to the Spanish guy. He's like, just keep on looking or whatever. It's like, again, it's your problem. Like, that guy just showed up, fucked you. You decided to let him live with you, and suddenly you have all these expectations of him to be a good, devoted wife. And you surround him, and then he turns around like, who wants to eat my ass?
It's
that guy had a really nice body, though. I would want
to eat his ass. Yeah, it was my favorite body.
Yeah, and then we find out that Michael has decided not to have the surgery, and it's nice, except that...
And then he gets really excited about this Broadway.com job, of which we know nothing about.
Which is probably not that well paid.
And he's not set up as, like, a musical theater aficionado or guy, so there's no reason why he should be.
He also gets really excited about his decision when Carlo touched his knee! He just, like, starts bawling like he's on Dynasty.
He's a bad crier, and he won't stop crying. It annoys me. But also, we get to the barbecue, and it's great that Tyler and Roger are together, but we don't get to see them fuck. For a movie that's pretty...
Do we need to at this point?
You know what? For a movie that's been pretty ripe with body parts, we should
see especially pretty ripe with Roger's other sex scenes. Like, you know, if you want to see Roger fuck someone, it's Tyler.
Well, at this point, the movie probably had no more money to spend on a hot water bill because everybody's fucking in the shower.
The guy at one point is like, don't you dare start singing show tunes. I'm like, you guys can't afford for him to start singing show tunes. Okay, I know that's not actually going to happen. And then Bear comes out to another successful Bear City, and then you think it's going to be a happy ending, but then the Glam Bear shows up, and he's like, you know what? Tyler and I are together, so watch the fucking attitude. He's like, it is really unnecessary. And then I'm sorry, for what?
Like, welcome to the
cheesy.
This movie should have ended half an hour ago, like this podcast.
They are coming out of the closet as boyfriends, as if they're like gay men in the Methodist church.
There's so much closet coming out.
Oh my god, wait a minute, so is the proposal, like Bear City 2, the proposal about them being married?
I don't know, I can't wait to watch it.
Can we make that now?
I don't have the strength.
I love to hate this movie and hate to love it as well.
Oh god. Our promo photos are by Michael Sheffer at mjsphotography.ca. We do take donations, and we would definitely appreciate some, so feel free to find the link on our website, or just go to PayPal and enter badgaymovies2013@gmail.com. Anything is appreciated. Nothing is too small. We are on iTunes. Please find us. Please subscribe to us. Please rate us. Please leave us a review. A lot of people have been doing so, and we really appreciate it, and thank you so much. We are on Twitter, @badgaymovies. We are on Tumblr. Just look up Bad Gay Movies. I think it's badgaymovies.tumblr.com. We are on Facebook. Find us and like us. We are on Instagram @badgaymovies. And then we have our website, which is www.badgaymovies.com. You can also find our RSS feed there. You can listen to podcasts and anything other than iTunes. And then write to us at badgaymovies2013@gmail.com and let us know what you think. We would love to hear from you.
Yay.
Thank you all very much. Thank you, guys. And we'll see you at 2-2.